The Old Testament reading for Rogate Sunday, or the sixth Sunday of Easter, is written in Numbers, chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around to the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson appointed for this Sunday is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and for all who are in high position, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is a testimony given at the proper time. This is the gospel of the Lord. The gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into this world, and now I am leaving this world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. That is why we believe you came from God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This day, contrary to my normal practice, I share with you this text because I think it is very fitting for you, the people of God today, and sums up both the Old Testament and the Gospel reading. It is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, these words: "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." In the name of Jesus, Amen. The historic Old Testament reading for today paints for us a vivid picture of the Old Testament Church of God, pulled out of their forced captivity and enslavement in Egypt by the hand of the Almighty God. They now are wandering in the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. They had been baptized in the Red Sea, declared God's people, and they had agreed to be his people forever because he had promised to be their God. He fed them with manna in the morning and quail at night, but still they fussed and fumed. Still, as the text says, they became impatient on the way. Where were they headed? They were headed to the Promised Land, the land that God had promised them, even as he has promised you a place in his heavenly realm. They became impatient on the way. They grumbled against God. We loathe this worthless food, and his representative, Moses. So God sent fiery serpents among them. And after the fiery serpents came upon them, they realize their sin and they cry out for deliverance. And God offers them a deliverance that can only be received by faith in his word and promise alone. The promise must be believed. Everyone who is bitten when he looks on the brazen serpent shall live. And so it was. We see in this picture of the Old Testament community of God a struggling entity, baptized, called, chosen, made a people. They are a people of faith headed for the Promised Land, and they are also a people that become discouraged on the way. Since the fall of humanity, the fall of our first parents, all of us bear the DNA of that sin and the consequences of that original sin. And this old nature still clings to all. It clings to you. It clings to me. As it clung to those called out of Egypt. It clings today to those who by faith are reconnected to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. It clings to you. It clings to me. In this, we are not alone. For oftentimes, we must say with the Apostle Paul, the good that I want to do, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Fear and trouble were not in the creation that God pronounced to be very good. Fear and troubled hearts came after that sin. I hid, our Father says, because I was afraid. Fear and troubled hearts today are a result of sin as well, the sin that still clings to us in our earthly journey. Separated from God and from one another, we would have nothing in our future but eternal separation and death were it not for God and his mercy and grace. For this reason, you, the people of God, must live as a child of God, fed on the word of God. Peter says earlier in the text you have just heard, as newborn babes long for the sincere milk that sustains them from their mother's breast, so he says, you, the child of God, must live by the sincere word of God. To live on this word of God is to be reconnected to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. In the midst of this life filled with trouble, turmoil, despair, grief, suffering, and death, today you are reminded not only of who you are, but what you are and what you do. As you sang just a few moments ago, we are God's house of living stones. You are a stone. Stones can do nothing. They are dead and inanimate unless they are made alive. That is what sin does to all of humanity. But Peter reminds that you are connected to God through Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is a living stone. And as a matter of fact, Peter says he is the cornerstone rejected by the builders, the religious leaders of that day, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, precious and beautiful. The chosen stone, the one, the precious one. On this stone, the cornerstone, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, builds his church. Now in Kenya, where my wife and I serve most often recently, when they build things, they do it by hand. They don't have large construction crews. They have people with consummate skills. And these stonemasons, as I call them, come and look at a spot about this big that needs a stone in the building. They walk over to a pile of stones, they select one, and they begin to chip at it. And they chip away and chip away until it fits perfectly into that notch. And then after it has been set and the mortar hardened, they come along and they make it so smooth you would think it has been done by a machine someplace. That is skill. They, with a naked eye, choose, shape, carve, and chip until that stone fits perfectly next or between the other selected stones. So it is that Jesus, your cornerstone, selected you when you were spiritually dead like an inanimate stone. He selected you to be part of his earthly temple, made not with hands, but called through his blood and fashioned by the Spirit to be his temple on earth. The church, he says, you were dead in a pile of stones, but in the eye of Christ, you were seen to be his, selected by him, called by him, chosen, shaped, and fitted for service in his temple. Peter says it like this: you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Fit together, one next to another. We are missing some stones today. Perhaps we need to remind them of where life comes from. How does this happen? When God formed Adam, he did so out of the dust of the ground. He looked upon his creation, for Adam was part of that creation. And then God himself breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul, formed in the image of God, for God himself is a soul. God still breathes life into the spiritually dead. He does it today by his word and his sacraments. Jesus, the stone rejected by the religious leaders of the Old Testament church, but chosen and precious of the Father, is sent into this world in human flesh. He keeps the law of his Father perfectly, and he does it for you. He offers his life as ransom for the world and for you. He suffered and died for all sins and for your sins. He rises from the grave and declares victory over the old evil foe, the foe of all mankind. He declares victory over your old nemesis, Satan, the tempter, the diabolical one. Then he, with the Father, sends the Spirit to breathe life into the dead hearts of stone, your heart. Life into your old sin-filled flesh. Now you, who were once not a people, are a people. You, who once did not know about mercy, could not give mercy, had not received mercy, are now a merciful people. For you, who had once no mercy, now live in the arms of the most merciful God. This is what you are. But there is more to life as you journey through this valley of the shadow of death. In your baptism, you were reconnected to your God and Father through the life and the blood of Jesus the Christ. In that baptism, you were given a new name, the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into whom you were baptized. Paul says you were baptized into his death and resurrection. And in that death, you die daily to sin. And in his resurrection, you rise daily to a newness of living. You were given a new sign, the sign of the cross that marks you, identifies you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And if you have died with Christ, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too will walk in newness of life. Peter speaks to us now, and he says these words: "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Living stones made alive by the Son of God, you are a chosen race. You are a member of the tribe of Christ. You are sons and daughters of the King, living the life of the baptized. You are a holy people, made holy daily through the forgiveness of sin. And you are a people of his priesthood." This is what you do. You live as sons and daughters of the King in the priesthood of all believers. That is why he goes to prepare a place for you in his Father's kingdom. And as you tarry in this earthly veil of tears, awaiting the glorious day of his return and the resurrection, like the Old Testament church, there is a propensity, sometimes even a desire, to find things differently. You kind of murmur and complain about life and God. You forget that you are his priests. Priests who give evidence of the lively hope, the living hope within you. That is what you are. But what do priests do, you should ask, if you don't know? So let me tell you. If you are a priest, and you are, because the scriptures declare you to be such, then let us inquire of the job description. The job description of a New Testament priest comes from sort of what priests did in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, priests did three things. First, they offered sacrifices. Secondly, they spoke to the people for God. And thirdly, they spoke for God to the people. First, priests offered sacrifices. What kind of sacrifice are you to offer, and for what purpose are you as priests of God to offer them? You no longer need to offer animals on the altar because Christ has given his life once for all, a ransom for the whole world. And you have been reconnected to God through him. And so, joined to him, you daily offer up your life as you die to sin and rise to newness of living. This means that your body, though it is still encumbered and surrounded by sin, is a living spiritual sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now you say, what does that mean? Dr. Luther calls this a life of repentance. Daily you breathe out your old sin through contrition, and daily breathe in forgiveness of sin. That breathing out and breathing in is the rhythm of your life. Repentance, breathing in life through forgiveness and mercy from Christ. And then, through that forgiveness and mercy, you become Christ to the neighbor, the one who needs your service. This is your priestly sacrifice, your body, a living sacrifice. Second, priests spoke to the people for God. Having this life in Christ with words and deeds, you now give evidence of the living hope within you to the believing and the unbelieving alike. To the fellow stone who is stumbling a little bit. Now you see, dear friends, this is not a mere PR effort nor is it merely advertisement as to the time and place where you gather. This is something that each one does every minute of every day according to your vocation as you have opportunity. God's stones built by Him into His church. And you do this in home and office, in field and store, wherever your daily vocation takes you as God presents opportunities to be His hands of mercy, His words of peace and forgiveness. The third thing priests did is they spoke to God for the people. Because your unbelieving neighbor either cannot or will not pray for faith, as a member of the royal priesthood, you must intercede for the unbelieving friend, neighbor, enemy, relative, classmate, co-worker, or acquaintance. And in offering your prayer that they should know Christ as their Savior, in praying for them, you join your voice to the voice of the Son and the Holy Spirit who intercedes before the Father's throne, that more dead stones may be given life and built up in His body. In the hymn you just sang, "We are God's house of living stones, built for His own habitation." Do you loathe the loathsome bread of Christ, the Word and the sacraments? God gave them manna every day, and that manna was for the Old Testament church. What is on this altar is for you. It is Christ's gift to you, to strengthen you for the journey between here and eternity, a journey that sometimes is long and tedious. Today, you, as priests of God, are fed with the Passover sacrifices for sin and for strengthening of faith for the journey ahead. Today, you come to His altar. There, He gives you the bread of life, His very body and very blood that forgives your sins, strengthens your faith in Him, and equips you for service as His priests. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.